We are going to learn Daf Yud in Masechtas Nedarim. We are going to start from the last two words on the bottom of Testament Aleph, the words of Iba Yisema. So, obviously, if we're saying the Iba Yisema, this is a second teretz. So, what is the question that the Gemara is discussing? So, the Gemara is discussing the Mishnah on the top of Testament Aleph. The Mishnah on the Daf Tes lists a few things. There's Nidrei Rishoyim, Nidrei Ksherim, and then there is a Nedava. So it seems, based on the Mishnah on the top of Daf Tes, that there is a difference between a Nedava and a Neder. Okay, that's a very simple point. And as we discussed last time, we discussed the fact that a Nedava means that it was done. With the proper motivation, as opposed to a neder, which is just something in general where it said, okay, I will do it, so we'll see whether I do it. Of course, obviously, if you take on a real neder, of course, you have to do it. But the point is that it's not entered into with the same gusto that a nedava would be. In any event, the point is that on the bottom of Testament Aleph, the Gemara discussed the machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir in the pasuk in Koheles that says that tova shaloi tidar, that you shouldn't make a neder and not pay. So Rav Meir's pshat is it's better not to make a neder at all, and Rav Yehuda's pshat is that it's better, it's only good if you pay off the neder. In any event, getting to the point here, the Gemara's kasha is, we see that neither Rav Meir or Rav Yehuda make a distinction between a neder and a nedava, like our Mishnah that made the distinction between a neder and a nedava. So far on Tesama Beis, the Gemara gave us the teretz how to explain it, how to understand our Mishnah according to Rav Meir. And the interesting thing is the Iba Yisema that we're going to do right now is going to explain the Mishnah like Rav Yehuda. Now, you're going to see there's a tremendous similarity between the way we explain Rav Yehuda Shita and Rav Meir Shita. So let's jump right into the Gemara's teretz right now. V'ibo Yisema, again, the last two words on Tezim and Abayz, which now takes us to the top of Yud Amud Aleph. Afilu Tema Rav Yehuda. We could even say that our Mishnah that makes the distinction between Neder and Adava Yeshita is Rav Yehuda. Why? Even though Rav Yehuda said it's better to, Rav Yehuda was really only discussing Nedarim. As the Gemara itself says, Ki Amar Rav Yehuda b'nedava. That's when Rav Yehuda said his halacha. This halacha, b'neder lo yomar, he only said his halacha that it's better to make the payment if you were in fact doing a nedava, which means that you really made the promise wholeheartedly, that you really wanted to give it. As opposed to a nedava, as opposed to a neder, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree it's better that, like, similar to Shitas Rav Meir, it's better not to make the neder in the first place. So, comes out that Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, based on this teretz of the Gemara, are really very, very similar in their perspective. So, the Rana already has the problem with this, that what's the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, and he says really they're just darshaning the pasuk. It's how you darshan the pasuk. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are really arguing on how to darshan the pasuk, that the pasuk is talking about, according to Rabbi Meir, the pasuk is talking about neder, and it means the same thing for nedava. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, the pasuk is only talking about nedava, it's not talking about neder. That's really the way the machleik comes out. The machleik is Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. But essentially, for our purposes, 2,000 years later, it comes out the same idea, that there is a difference between a neder and a nedava. Problem is, now let's continue with the Gemara. Problem is, what do you mean? How do you say that Rabbi Yehuda is discussing that when he made this statement, he was discussing nedava? His words are very clearly neder. He says neder umekayim, that it's better to make the neder and fulfill your neder. So the Gemara says once again, similar to what we said before, tani neidev umekayim. Okay, it should be the girsa in Rabbi Yehuda Shita, if you want to be more accurate, should have said noidiv, because that's really what he's talking about. He's talking about nedava, he's not talking about neder when he made his statement. And once again, the point of the statement is, the ultimate, the best thing, according to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, the best thing is to actually make the nedava and fulfill the nedava. But when it comes to Nedarim, you really shouldn't be making the Nedarim in the first place. So it comes out that Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Meir are really just discussing two different things. Rav Meir is emphasizing the fact that you should not be making the Nedarim. And Rabbi Yehuda was saying, oh, but if you make a Nedava, it's okay to fulfill it with a Nedava. That's what really, it's almost not a Machlekes. Again, as I said, it's a Machlekes and how to darshan the Pasuk. Now, Of course, the main point over here is Maishna Noider Deloy. How come we're so makbid that we say not to make nedarim? That's not a good idea. Why? Dilma Osi Bei Lidei Takolo. Because maybe you'll eventually it'll come out to be a mistake. Something will be wrong. Again, the idea is that we're afraid that you will not fulfill the neder, and then you'll have a neder levatolo, which is a terrible avera. So that's what we're concerned about. Nedavanami Dilma Osi Lidei Takolo. So Nedava has the same problem. Even though it's a Nedava and I really meant it, but ultimately I do have to fulfill it, and until I fulfill it, there's always a chance and a possibility that I won't fulfill it. So how do I get around that? Why is Nadav any better? So the Gemara again gives a very similar terrace to the Gemara before. Rabbi Yehuda Letaimei. Now this is Rabbi Yehuda's own Shita. The Omar, he says, Oda mevi kivsosoi la'azoro umakdisho. That what he does is he brings the sheep as a regular sheep, as chulin. He brings it all the way to the Azara. And again, the Mepharshim point out, he doesn't mean it bring literally into the Azara, because you can't bring chulin into the Azara. It means to the Azara, right before the Azara. Umakdisho, and then you makdish it right there. So there is no time lapse that we're concerned that you might end up promising to do something and not doing it. You're going to do it right there on the spot. You're going to be makdish it right there on the spot. And you do smicha on the animal, and you shecht it. Okay, so again, that's the idea. The idea is that we're going to take care of it on the spot, so there's no concern that you're going to miss out on the opportunity. Now, let's get technical. So the Gemara says, Tenach nedava de karbonis. That makes sense when you're talking about a carbon, because I could set it up in a way that I'll only bring the carbon when I'm ready, literally ready to bring the carbon. That makes sense. Noidiv de nazirus my ikala meimer. Well, how does that make sense in the context of nazirus that I'm going to promise, that I'm going to promise to bring the nedava on the spot of Nazirus? Either I am a Nazir or I'm not a Nazir. And as we discussed, it is possible to be a Nazir in the future. How do I know that I'm going to fulfill the Nazirus in the correct way? So here, the Gemara gives a different terrace than the Gemara before. Rabbi Yehuda Letaimei, this also is Rabbi Yehuda Shito, the Tanya we learned in a Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Chasidim harishoinim hayim s'avin lahavi korban chatos. They really all wanted to have an opportunity to bring a korban chatos. Now this is a very strange concept. Why would you want to bring a korban chatos? Not for the sake of a korban chatos per se, as we're going to see in a minute, but because they wanted to be mekayim all the mitzvahs in the Torah. Now in order to be able to be mekayim the mitzvahs in the Torah, let's say for in our generation, I want to be mekayim tshuva. I want to do tshuva. In order for me, by definition, to do tshuva, I have to have done an aveira. And the problem is, so therefore they always wanted to bring a korban chatos, which is meant as a tshuva, but the problem is, as the Gemara says, l'fi she'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe takol al yedeyim. The problem is that when you're dealing with a real tzaddik and a real chosid, that Hashem doesn't give them the opportunity to do aveiros. If, again, you have to get to that level, but once you're on that level where you're doing everything correctly, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to set you up in a way to make a mistake. It's going to set you up in a way that you will succeed. So if you're going to succeed, so you're not going to do any aveiros, you're never going to have an opportunity to bring a korban chatos. These guys wanted to bring a korban chatos. So how did they take care of this? So what would they do? How do you bring a korban chatos without doing an aveiro? So here's the answer. They would go ahead and they would make a nedava, a promise that they were going to be a nazir. So that they could become a chayv, a carbon chatos. That is a legit carbon chatos, because as we all know, by the end of the nazirus, when the nazirus is over, you bring three carbonos, and one of the three you bring is a carbon chatos. So now I can bring a carbon chatos without doing any averus. So it's a beautiful way to fulfill the mitzvah of bringing a carbon chatos. I get around it without having to do an avera in the first place. Okay. In any event, that answers the Gemara's question of how do you have a nedava for Naziris? Because again, the idea, especially the way the Ran learns, the idea is to be legitimate and genuine. To be genuine about your promise to be nedava. So if these guys, if the whole reason they're doing it is to bring the korban chatos, then obviously they're very serious. They're on a different level. So once you're on that level, you can actually do the Naziris in a way that we're not worried that you're going to do anything wrong. You're doing it l'shem shemayim. Okay, that's the Braisa. We're still in the middle of the Braisa, because so far we're bringing a Braisa, and we quoted Rabbi Yehuda Shita. The Braisa does continue and says, Rabbi Shimon Oimer. Rabbi Shimon says, no, that's not true. Everything Rabbi Yehuda said is not true. Loi nodroi ben nazir. That's not, they would never bring a nazirus. They would never make themselves into a nazir, and we'll see why in a minute. El haroitzer lohavi oilo. If you want to bring a carbon oilo, misnadev umevi. So you make a, you promise to bring the carbon oilo because you can just donate an oilo anytime. Shlomim, similarly with the shlomim, misnadev umevi. You make a promise and you bring the shlomim. Toido. Umevi toida va'arba mina lachma. And when you want to bring a carbon shlomo, you can bring it as a carbon toida, which you can bring any time, and you bring four types of challah, which is one matzah and three different types of challah. Sorry, I read it wrong. It's shlomim misnadev umevi. Then you the shlomim you promise and you just bring it. Toida va'arba mina lachma, when you want to bring a carbon toida, and the four lechem that we just discussed, misnadev umevi. Then they would just bring it. So there are ways to bring many different types of korbanos. Avo benaziras loy hisnadvu, but they would never make themselves into a nazir. Kedei shelo yikru choitin, because being a nazir comes with the label that you are a choitin. What exactly is the avera? That's what we'll discuss in a moment. But it's not a real avera, but it comes with the label of a choita. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'chiper alav ma'asher choto al hanefesh, and you'll get a kapara on that which you were choita with your nefesh, with your soul. So we see that the Torah itself refers to the person as a choita. So a real chassid would never put themselves in the category of somebody who is called a choita, even if you're not technically, you're not really doing an aveira. Okay? Any event, Rav Shimon Shita is that a nazir does have, because of the pasuk, is considered a choita. So therefore, based on that, Amar Abaya, Shimon HaTzadik, V'Rav Shimon, V'Rav Elazar HaKafar, Kulon Shita Achas Hein, they all three of those say the same idea. The nazir choita have that a nazir is a choita. Shimon HaTzadik, Rav Shimon Hodamar. So Shimon HaTzadik and Rav Shimon, we already quoted earlier in the Gemara. Shimon HaTzadik was from Daf Tes, some of these. As a reminder, he was the one who says that when a person brings a nazir and he becomes tamei and he's toye on the fact that he became tamei, he's all upset about the fact that his naziris lasted longer. So that's why he's considered a choita. So that's where Rav Shimon HaTzadik refers to a nazir as a choita. Rav Shimon is the Gemara we just quoted 2 seconds ago, which is that the Torah calls you a choita. And then the third shita is Rav Elazar HaKafar Berebi. Rav Elazar HaKafar says the following. The Tanya we learned in the Brisa, Rav Elazar HaKafar Berebi Oimer. So Rav Elazar HaKafar says like this: the chiper alav ma'asher chota ala nefesh. Again, this is the same pasuk that we just quoted. It just has a slightly different drasha. So the Gemara itself asks, or the Brisa asks, the chiper eizer nefesh chota zeh. What did he do wrong with nefesh? Now, by the way, the Mefarshim point out the Ran points out that we're focused on the word nefesh because it said asher, because it could asher chota, the pasuk could have ended after the word asher chota. The fact that it says al hanefesh, the extra word al hanefesh, is what we're darshaning over here. So the question then of the Gemara is, is a nefesh chota? Which nefesh? Which soul? What did he do wrong? The Gemara answers, famous answer, el shatir atzma min ayayin, that he restricted himself from, he pained himself in a way that he wasn't able to drink wine. And we make the famous drasha v'haloi dvarim kal v'chomer. So it's a kal v'chomer. Umazeh shaloi tzir asmai ela min hayayin nikra choyta. A person who restricts himself and refrains from drinking wine, that already is a choyta, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu said you should be able to do whatever, if I put it on this world in a mutter dig away, you should be allowed to use it. And that's already considered a choyta. You're changing, so to speak, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world. Hametzar atzmoi mikol davar al achas kamo v'kamo. If a person restrains and restricts himself from anything and everything, that's for sure considered an aveira. And based on that, based on Rabbi Elazar HaKafar Shita, we say mikan, from here we learn v'layushu b'tainis nikra choyta. This is a very interesting, unique shita, that somebody who sits in a tainis is considered a choyta. He's doing an aveira. V'hadein kra b'nozer tamek zid. So the Gemara asks, what are you talking about? This pasuk, Vaden Krov and Ozu Tamik, said this pasuk is really only written in the context of somebody who literally did something wrong, who became Tomei. That's really where the pasuk is focused. So the Gemara answers, no, Mishum Deshon Bechetu. The reason why the pasuk is written in that context is because there the person doubled in the Aver, meaning double in the sense that first he became a Nazar and restricted himself, and then on top of that he even became Tomei. He messed up. He didn't even do what he was supposed to be doing. So that's why the pasuk is written in that context. But of course, in reality, the reality is that just being a nazir in and of itself is a problem because you're restricting yourself from doing, again, and I focus on the aveir is restricting yourself from those things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said are mutter. There's plenty of things that the Torah says you're not allowed to do. And of course, at Halavai, we keep those things and keep, you know, do those things correctly. But then to take something that's mutter and not do what's mutter where the Torah says I want you to do it and not do that, that's already, again, a shemetz, a little spark of chayta. Again, that's the famous Gemara that we're all familiar with. In any event, the bottom line of the Gemara is that, just to repeat, so we get the summary of the Gemara is that there is a difference between neder and nedava. That an nedava is considered a higher level. Both Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda Shita make a distinction, which is why our Mishnah could be the Tana of our Mishnah could be either Shita's Rav Meir or Rav Yehuda. That nedava is something that that people do. Even a kosher would do a nedava. And then the question is, how do I do it? Either I set it up that I do it in a way that I don't make a mistake, or I really genuinely really want to do it like in a nazir. I really want to do it for the right reasons, so then it is considered a nedava, and that's acceptable. That's the ultimate way. Now, until now, we have been discussing the concept of yodas. If you remember, when we started the Masechta, the first Mishnah, in Masechtas Nedarim starts with the word kol kinui nedarim kinedarim. That a kinui is a neder. And the first Gemara on Daf Beis discussed the fact that immediately the Gemara then switched concepts to yodos. What's, just as a reminder, what's the difference between yodos and kinui? A neder, we know of course what it is. A neder is when I say outright, I am making a neder that this object should be ushered to me like a carbon. That would be the full way to make a neder. Now, Yodois is the concept that, again, as we've been discussing for the last eight lot, is the idea that I didn't finish my sentence, and we understand, but we could finish a sentence, we understand what the person meant to say, and that is enough to be a neder. So I don't have to say it outright, as long as it's clear, I say some buzzwords or magic words, I say the right words, and then everybody knows what I'm talking about. Now, we're finally going to get back to the topic of a kinui. A kinui is the idea where I'm not going to say the right, correct word or the designated word for making the nether. I'm going to say a different word which means something similar to what the word nether, to what the word carbon means. That also is going to be considered a nether. So finally, the Mishnah changes topics. We're going to go back now to the concept of kinui. So the Mishnah towards the bottom says like this, ha'omer l'chaveiroi, or ha'omer, really take out the word chaveiroi, koinem, koineach, koinem. So instead of saying the koines, instead of saying the word karbon, you switch the word. So I'm saying I'm making a neder to be ushered to me like a koinem. I say koinem or koinem. I don't have to say it in that. I don't have to phrase it in the way I just phrased it necessarily. But the idea is I say koinem, and that's referring to the iser involved over here. Is the iser on the level of a karbon? So these words are considered harei elu kinuyim, as the Mishnah itself, le karbon. The Mishnah itself says that these are the, so to speak, nicknames for the word karbon. Similarly, charak, charach, charaf, harei elu kinuyim lecherim. So instead of setting up a cherim, so the Ran gets involved over here of what type of cherim are we talking about. There's two different types of cherim. Cherim just means that I am donating something to the Beis HaMikdash. But there's two different types. There's a cherim where I donate to the Beis HaMikdash itself, and then there's a cherim where I donate to the Kohanim. That's also called cherim. The Torah refers to giving donations to the Kohanim as a cherim. That is not the cherim that we are discussing over here in our Mishnah. Okay, I'm pointing this out because the Ran points this out, and it's also negated a little bit in the Gemara. In any event, the cherim that we are discussing is donating to the Beis HaMikdash, which of course means that it becomes hektish. And anything that's hektish is also bahano. Similarly, nozik, noziach, paziach, harei elu kinuyim l'naziris. So I use any of these other words. Also, it's similar, it's saying that I want it to become a nozir. So, shvusa, shakuka, the word shvusa and shakuka are also words to make a shvua. Noider b'mahayi, we'll talk about this word, this expression itself at the end of the Gemara. Also, Hareilu Kinuyin L'Shvua, those are also a kinoy for taking on a shvua. Okay, Noider B'Mahoy, it's a machlikas Rishonim, exactly whether this is a new kit, whether you said the word Noider, or whether the Mishnah is just breaking it up, so that we know the word B'Mahoy, believe it or not, means, again, the way the Ran learns, machlikas Rishonim, but the way the Ran learns is that B'Mahoy means Moshe Rabbeinu, that I'm making a shvua in Moshe Rabbeinu. And we'll discuss in the Gemara exactly what he said, how I make this into a shvua. In any event, the Mishnah over here very simply lists a number of different words that you can use as a kinoy, as a nickname for the word that you're trying, the original word that you're trying to say. Then, as we already discussed on Daf Beis, and here is the famous machlekes in the Gemara. So these words, what is the significance of these words? Itmar. Kinuyim. When you use these other words, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Loshanu Masen. So Rabbi Yochanan simply says that these are the words that you would use in another language, probably Aramaic in those days. So therefore, it's just another word that means the same thing. So it comes out that according to Rabbi Yochanan, you could really use any word that means this, and these are just examples. As opposed to Rabbi Shimon ben Lokeshoimer, he argues and says, no. Loshen Shabbat Olehem Chachamim. These are specific words that the Chachamim created. Lihiyos Noider Boy. That you should use these words when you want to make an eder. So it's very different. It sounds similar, but it's really very different idea. There, it's not general words. It's not any word that you decide. It's specifically these words that the Chachamim say. These are the words that are going to make it happen. So I don't have to use the real word, the original word in the Torah. I could use a different word, but it has to be something that we designed and designated to mean that in order for it to work. And similar, it says b'chodesh asher bodo miliboy, that he created. The Gemara over here is explaining what the word shabodu chachamim means. Shabodo miliboy, that he came up on his own from his own heart. This is talking about Shlomo HaMelech. After he finished constructing the Beis HaMikdash, he decided to make it a chag, and they celebrated the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. But the idea is that he created this from his heart. So the same idea over here is that the Chachamim also said, instead of using the real word, you could use other replacement words. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, why? Why would the Chachamim, what do we need replacement words for? What's wrong with the original word? The time of my Tekinu Rabbanon Kinuyim, why did the Rabbanon say that why did the Rabbanon create alternative words? Now this is I love this Gemara. This is a classic. Why did they say kinoy? Deloy lema carbon, because the Chachamim realized that you shouldn't say the word carbon. So the Gemara asks, "Velema carbon? Why not? What's wrong with saying the word carbon?" So the Gemara says, "Dilma Arban carbon Lashem." Because if you say carbon, the natural manner is because of the psukim that you're going to say the word carbon Lashem. Okay, that's a problem. Velema carbon Lashem. So the Gemara says, "What's the problem? I don't have a problem with saying carbon Lashem." The Gemara says, "Finally, Dilma Omar Lashem." Because maybe you're going to ultimately just say the word Lashem, and without saying the word carbon, either by accident or on purpose, for whatever reason, but you might end up saying Hashem's name, v'loy amar carbon, and then you're not going to finish your sentence and say the word carbon. Again, as I said, either on purpose or by accident, it doesn't matter. But you now said the word Hashem, which in and of itself is not making a neder. Just because I said the word Hashem doesn't make it into a neder. And then you're going to end up saying Shem Shemayim for no reason. Now you've said Hashem's name. It's not part of a neder. It's not part of anything. And you've just said, so the Chacham said, okay, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Instead of saying the words carbon, which will lead you to saying carbon Hashem, because that's the natural expression. And now what I'm going to avoid that, because I don't want you to say Hashem's name, use the word koinem. Use the word koineach, use a different word which doesn't lead you to prompt you to say the word Lahashem. When I say the word koinem, I never say it, never, it's never koinem Lahashem, it's not an expression. I would never say that. I wouldn't accidentally say the word Lahashem. So therefore it's better to use a different word. This is according to Shimon ben Lakish. This is the logic over here. It's better to use a different expression which avoids the natural tendency of saying Lahashem, Hashem's name, so that you don't accidentally end up saying Hashem's name in vain. The Tanya, and we learned in the Brisa, Rav Shimon Oimer. Rav Shimon said, now we're turning to the top of Yud on the base. Minayin shelo yoimer odom la Hashem. This is how careful we have to be on saying Hashem's name without saying it properly. So certainly saying Hashem's name in vain is for sure asur. But how do we know even saying it improperly? Because it says like this: Minayin shelo yomer adam laHashem oilo, that I'm donating to Hashem a carbon oilo, or laHashem mincha, a carbon mincha, laHashem toida. But again, in each one of these cases, I'm saying the word laHashem first, laHashem shlomim. But again, I'm going to donate for Hashem. I'm going to bring a carbon shlomim. How do I know I don't even do that? In which case, I'm finishing my sentence correctly, so there's really nothing wrong. But even so, I shouldn't do that. Talmud loimer carbon laHashem. By the fact that the Torah, it reverses the order and says as carbon laHashem, which naturally, really, the right way to say it, if I was, so to speak, the author of the Bible, that doesn't make any sense, but theoretically, right, I would have written it laHashem carbon. That is the correct way that to Hashem I'm bringing a carbon. That's not carbon, I'm bringing a carbon laHashem to Hashem. It's not, again, in Hebrew, the grammatic way of saying it is incorrect. So, and even so, the Torah flips it around. So we see that there is a hakpada to say what you're going to say, so that by the time you say Hashem's name, it's a full sentence, and not a half a sentence. The Kal v'chomer, and we can make a Kal v'chomer. Umazeh shelo niskaven ela lahasker shem shemayim ala carbon. Here, where I is literally saying the shem shemayim for the sake of bringing a carbon for Hashem. Omra Torah carbon la Hashem. Still the Torah was makbid to say the word carbon so that I would say Hashem's name at the end of the sentence, I would never say Hashem's name in an open sentence. So certainly to say Hashem's name for no reason, where it doesn't accomplish anything, so certainly there, I should be makbid not to say Hashem's name. So, in conclusion, the Gemara is saying we have to be very makbid not to use Hashem's name in vain. And the way to avoid that, therefore Chazal said, let's not use the word carbon, because the word carbon will prompt you to say the word laHashem. And saying the word laHashem always comes with the danger that you might say the word either laHashem by itself or out of order, which is not the proper way to do it. So therefore we're gonna give you another sentence, another phrase to use so that you don't end up saying laHashem at all. And then you just use that other phrase, and that phrase is safe, and it means the same thing, and that's what Chazal would prefer that you use to avoid saying Hashem's name in vain. And that's why there's a concept, again, according to Rav Shimon ben Lakish, that is the concept of a kinui. Now again, Rav Yochanan has a whole different pshat. Rav Yochanan is saying it's just literally the proper way to say it. It's just another way to say it, and these are just examples. So now, when we continue the Gemara, we'll have to see whether or not this is going according to Rabbi Yochanan Shita also, or this is only according to Rabbi Shimon. The way I was explained so far is only according to Reish Lakish's Pshat. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Lema ketanoi. Let us say this machloikis, this essential machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, is really a machloikis. As a machloikis tanoim, and as we've said many times, as we've learned through Shas, we know that we don't like it that a machloikis amaroyim should be the same machloikis as a machloikis tanoim, especially machloikis beisham and beis hillel, which is the first tanoim that were ever out there. We don't like, why would we as amaroyim, a later generation, be arguing on the same thing that the early tanoim already had this machloikis? If the machloikis already exists, we should just follow their shitas. So, what would be the machloikis? So we have a braisa, or a mishnah, a braisa. Okay, so here's a new concept. So it's not just a nickname. Now we're saying a nickname for a nickname, which we'll discuss in a moment later in the Gemara. But they're saying they've taken the word, the nickname itself, and they've, I don't know the right word to use, adulterated it a little bit. They manipulated the word a little bit. So now it's not even the original version of the nickname. It's another version of the nickname. So, you know, sometimes somebody has like a funny name and you ask, how did you get to that? And you say, well, because they used to call me this, and then one time somebody called me that, and then, you know, and then you get to a whole different name. So that's what a kinoi kinuyim are, as we'll discuss in a moment. So, the interesting thing is, Beis Shammai says, even a kinoi kinuy, a nickname of a nickname, a manipulated word, is still aser. What does that mean? That Beis Shammai seems to say, that Beis Shammai seems to say that it's really any word. By the fact that you could do a different version of a kinui seems to imply that Beis Shammai holds that it's not that word. There's nothing special and unique about that word. It's as long as we understand what you're trying to say, that makes the point. And that's why it's also means it creates a neder. And Beis Hillel says, kinui kinuyim mutar. They're mutar. Okay? So we see that that Beis Hillel says no, it has to be that word specifically. So my lav. So what are they arguing about? If you say that it's aser, meaning it created the neder, kasaver kinuyin loshen umaisen. So it's just a matter of this is the way people say it. And now if we have another way to say the same word in a different way, so we're still saying the same thing. It's just a translation. It's still part of the translation, so it should still work. That would be Beis Shammai Shita. And that would be similar to Rabbi Yochanan Shita. And if we say that it's not a good nether, because I have a Lashon Shebodul and Chachamim, and it would say, no, it's only those words, the original Kinuyim themselves, it has to be those words, because those are the words that Chazal selected. So then you can't manipulate, it's not a manipulation, it's not, that's not the concept, it was words that Chazal picked. And these are not those words, so it shouldn't work. In any event, it comes out the machlekas Bisham and Beis Hillel is the same machlekas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. L'chayru. So the Gemara says, no, it's not the same machlekas. We could all hold like Rabbi Yochanan that it's just another word for the same meaning, and if we know what it means, we know what it means. So what's the issue? Ubeishamai Savri Bahani Nami Mishtoi Umois. And Beishamai says, yeah, people do play around with the words. They do say it in a, they say the same word in a funny way, maybe with a funny accent, with different pronunciation, or whatever it is. They say it in a different way. So, therefore, it's still part of that same word. And it's, therefore creates a neder. No, this is not the way people talk. I imagine that what the Gemara means to say is not to, of course there obviously must be some people who do use these expressions, otherwise it's a meaningless word. It has to be that some people use it, but it's probably not something that the Roiv Am uses. The example I like to give to illustrate this point is, again, we're, without getting into it, is the Cockney. Right? Cockney is a variation of English. Now, it's not a very... People use it.
Cockney?
Yeah. The point is that some people use it. It's certainly not the common language. It's not considered the language. But it is using the same words in a funny way. So that would be... That's the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. It's, again, a possible explanation over here. It is a word, but it's not a word that's commonly used. So therefore, the question is, would it be a word that we would accept as a neder or not? That's one teretz in the Gemara. So it comes out that everybody holds like Rabbi Yochanan, that it's really umas ha'olam. It's just a question of, is this the correct word or not? The Ibai same, another answer, in order to make this not the same machlekes tanoim and amaroim, Beis Shammai sover gazrinun kinu kinuyim mishum kinuyim. This is a very interesting machlekes. Really, everybody agrees that a kinuy kinuy is not good. It's really not a good way to say it. Really, there is a proper way to say it. This could work even according to Reb Shimon, Reish Lakish, that there is a proper way to say it. But the problem is, we make a gezeira that since it is similar enough and we understand what the person is saying, should therefore create a neder as well. Right? It's a gezeira because the kinoy works, so therefore kinoy should also work. But in essence, it really doesn't work. It's only a gezeira. It would make it a derabbanan. We don't say that a manipulated kinoy word should also work. That's what Beis Hillel is saying. So the machlekes over here has nothing to do with whether it works or not. It's the machlekes whether we make a gzeira. Now, of course, if we make a gzeira, now it works. So now that's part of the gzeira. The gzeira is that you now have a neder that you need to fulfill. But there is no question that that is not really the word that should be used for the sake of making a neder. It's just that now that you did it, Beis Shammai says, well, we know what you mean to say. We're going to make a gzeira. We don't want you to make this mistake, so we're going to make it into a neder. Okay.
Hold on.
Yeah. Now, finally, we talked about it. Let's talk. What is it? Hechi dami kina kinuyim dinedarim. What is a kinuy, a nickname of a nickname in the context of nedarim? So, Tani Reb Yosef, mikanamana, mikanchana, and mikansana. So, really, what we've done over here is, if you look back at the list in the Mishnah, we really just added, and of the nun aleph at the end of the word. Of course, it changes the whole pronunciation, which again gets you into is a machlekes rishonim, whether this is just a manipulation of the letters in the word, Or are we really also focused on the pronunciation of the word? It's interesting, Machlokes Rishonim over here, but everybody agrees. It's the same word that we originally established as a kinoy. Now we're altering the word a little bit, so that is a kinoy of a kinoy, because it's not the original version of the word itself. So look back in the Mishnah. The original version was koineim, koineach, koineis. And now I'm taking that same word, koineim becomes mekanemana. And koineach means bekanchana. So it's the same word, it's just changing both the lettering and the pronunciation. That when we say kinoy kinuyim, we're not talking about, it's a totally different word. We're not taking a completely new concept and saying, you know, one word derives to another word, and it's not like a synonym where we're just taking, it's a similar type of word that means the same thing, and it's a completely different word. That's not what a kinoy kinoy is. Kinoy kinuyim is not just making up another word which is similar to the first word in the first place. It's using the original word, but pronouncing it and spelling it and making it sound like a different word. But it's really the same word. It's the original kinoy. It just sounds a little bit different. Again, as opposed to kinu kinu could have been interpreted to mean a whole different word, which also means the same thing. That's not the point of a kinu kinu, which is, of course, the point that the Gemara is trying to make. Now, with that understanding, we can also continue reading the next cases. Heichidam kinu kinuim decherim. Again, similarly, with examples that the Gemara gave, the Mishnah gave as a cherim. So, what would be a kinu kinim? Tani mafsha. So the word charkim, charakim, charchim, or charfim. So that again, it's taking the original words charak and saying charakim. So it's the same word. It's just again adding extra letters and pronouncing it a little bit differently, and it's still the same thing. Kinu kinuim de naziris. What would be an example of a nickname of a nickname, a change of a change for naziris? Tani Rav Yosef, mechaz chono, minaz chono, mafichno. Okay, so again, also, if you look back at the Mishnah, these are the same words, and it's just with a different pronunciation. So now that we're talking about a different pronunciation, what about if I take it, I manipulate it even further? So, Iboyeluhu, mefachaznono mai, mitchazono mai, mitazno mai. So these are like, so far, these are like, removed from removed, these are even further. They didn't even sound like the original word in the first place, but they're really still based on the same letters. So is that still considered a kinui? So Amalei Ravina le Ravashi, kinmo mai. What if I say Amalei Ravina le Ravashi? Again, repeating, Ravina asked the question to Ravashi. Kinmo mai. Now the word kinmo is very similar to the word koineim, but it's a different pronunciation. But so what's the question? Why are we asking specifically about that word? Koineim, I mean, the problem is that the word kinmo not only sounds like koineim, but also has an independent, separate meaning. It means something else. My koineim, my, what's the halacha? Koineim ka'amar, does he really mean to say the word koineim, especially in this context, where he's using the word koineim to mean like a carbon? Idilma kinamoin boisem ka'amar. Or maybe he means, I'll just translate it in English as cinnamon. I don't know if that's what it necessarily means in the Gemara, but it means a product. It means a spice. Kinma is definitely a spice. It's a spice that we talk about in the Pitama Keteiros, when we bring the Keteiros. So maybe if you use that word, so on the one hand it sounds like koinim, and he's using it in the context of a neder, so that's probably what he means. On the other hand, it also means something completely different. It means cinnamon. Cinnamon has nothing to do with nedarim, or maybe his neder is only about cinnamon. So, what would be the halacha there? So, amalei, Rav Acha, Bereda, Rav Chiel, or Rav Ashi. Also, he has to go, kina, mai. Similar. The word kina, which is very similar to the word koinein. Is that halacha? What do I mean when I say the word kino? Kino shel tanagoilim kamar. Do I mean a pier, a nest of chickens, of roosters? A dilma loshen dekainim, or maybe it really means a loshen of kainim. Same idea. It's because this word in this context, it's probably what I mean. Because why else would I be using the context of a neder to say the word kina unless I meant it as a carbon? On the other hand, the word kina does have its own meaning, and it's a real word that means something else. So maybe I meant that other word. So Tiboy the Gemara leaves that as a question. Okay, so far we discussed carbon, the kina kinuyim for carbon, or kainim. We discussed the kina kinuyim for cherim, and we discussed the kinu kinoyim for Nazirus. The last case of the Mishnah was kinu kinoy for Shvua. Kinu kinoyim to Shvua hechidami. What would be the funny, the manipulation, the way, the alteration of the words for Shvua? You'd say Shvual, Shvusiel, Shukukiel. Okay, what is Shvuel? Because why is this a kinoy? The Gemara says, I don't understand. Shvuel, how could Shvuel even be a question? Shvuel ben Gershom mashma. It's the name of a person. So it doesn't mean Shvuel at all. Ella, you're right. So the Gemara says, what we meant to say is Shvuel, Shvusiel, Shukukel. So those words are the kinoy kinoyim. Or those, actually, the Gemara leaves it as a question. If you, it depends on whether you have the girsa of Mahu over here. Yeah, so the Hagoy Sabach, for example, takes out the word Mahu, because this is the answer to the, this is the Kino Kinuyim. This is not a question. These are the Kinuyim Kinuyim. Okay. Omar Shmuel. Omar Ashvisa. If I say the word Ashvisa, which is, again, a manipulation of the word Shvua, Loy Omar Klum. That's already, doesn't, that has meaningless, that's your, that's, that has nothing to do with the word, Shvua, Ashkika, Loyamar Klum, Karnishna, Loyamar Klum. All those words are so far removed. The same way by Neder, when we manipulated the word even further, we said, Mechzono, and we had a list of words, and the Gemara left with a question, Mai, and the Gemara left it as an open ended by the context of Nedarim. By Shvua, Shmuel says, no. By Shvua, you got, there are words that you could say, and you can't just make up any word you want in order to make it considered a Shvua. Okay, so by Shvua it does have to be specifically sound like the word Shvua. Okay, lastly, and we're going to finish with this, we're going to get to the Mishnah today. But the Gemara says, so the last Gemara's question was the last quote of the Gemara, of the Mishnah, Nader b'moyi arei elukenu. So the Gemara, the Mishnah rather, had given three examples of a Shvua, and the last example was Nader b'moyi. The Nader b'moyi is a very funny Lashon. First of all, it uses the word neder, and then it says b'moyi. So what is b'moyi? So we're going to follow the Ran's pshat. I'll tell you, there are machlokes rishonim how to learn this Gemara, but we're going to learn like the way the Ran learns the Gemara. So Rav Shimon Gamliel Oimer, he says, Ha'omer b'moyi loy omar klum. So as we mentioned when we learned the Mishnah, Shmuel, the way the Ran learns, he understands Rav Shimon Gamliel is talking about b'moyi means Moshe Rabbeinu. Moihi is another name for Moshe. So when I swear in Moshe, so again, just to illustrate the point, this is not what the Gemara is saying, but just to illustrate the point, you know how you hear, for example, some people say, they say, I swear in my mother. Right? So now, if a person says, I swear in my mother's life, we know, oh, okay, there must be really serious, because, you know, they would only tell the truth if they're talking about their mother. You know, type of thing. So the same thing, Lahavdil Elf Alfei Avdolis, the Gemara is saying, the same thing, B'moyi means Moshe Rabbeinu. A person says, I'm swearing in Moshe. That sounds like a pretty serious, intense type of shvua. Still, Rav Shimon Gamliel's point is, Lo Yamar Klum. That's nothing. What is Moshe? Moshe Rabbeinu is not a swear word. Moshe Rabbeinu is not a thing. So that's not a way to make a shvua. Rather, so what did the Mishnah mean when it says Noder B'moyi? Rather, when a man says B'moimso, again, the way the Ran focuses on with the first shot in the Ran is the letter, the bays in Moshe. What do I mean by that? Then I say it's like this: De Omar Moihi. If I say in the shvua that Moshe Rabbeinu would have made or made. That's what I'm saying. In other words, I am swearing the way Moshe Rabbeinu swore. Not that I'm swearing in Moshe Rabbeinu. Swearing in Moshe Rabbeinu is meaningless. He's not a thing. It's not a thing. As opposed to, for example, if I say Halek Him, if I say I swear in God's name, oh, that's a serious rule. But swearing in Moshe Rabbeinu's name in itself is nothing unless I say I'm swearing like Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara finishes off and says, "Harei elu kinuyim l'shvuya." That would be a kinuy for the shvua. So therefore, that's the way to make a shvua. I have to be making a shvua like the real way to make a shvua, not in Moshe Rabbeinu, but I'm saying a shvua like Moshe Rabbeinu would make a shvua. Then I'm making a shvua also. So that's why it's considered a shvua. Just to finish off, and that's why the Mishnah uses the word nodar b'moyi. Even though it's not, because you don't really have to say the word neder b'moyi, your expression doesn't say the word neder. It's just the Mishnah had it, because it's a different type of kinoi, the normal kinoi is the word shavua shakuka versus b'moyi. I'm not saying the word b'moyi. We just said, according to Rav Shmuel Gamliel, I'm not saying the word b'moyi. So it's not, the kinoi is not the word b'moyi. The kinoi is the fact that I'm saying, I'm swearing like Moshe Rabbeinu would swear. So that's why we're using the word neder b'moyi to break it up a little bit, to say that I'm saying it. It's a completely different expression. Okay, so that takes us to the Mishnah. We'll start with the Mishnah Mirtz Hashem next time.